illuminated, that we understand it, that we get a clearer picture of God, who you are, what you called us to do. Thank you for the vision of ever-increasing Word Training Center given to Apostle. Father, continue to bless him and continue to give him what is necessary to lead us into the apostolic. We give you all the glory, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before we get started, next week is our exam. Our exam will be on chapter 8. Of course, it's open book. So it'll be chapter 8. If you would, turn with me to Romans, the 7th chapter. Tonight, I'm going to start dealing with the will. Thus far, we have gone through the five aspects of the soul: emotions, the intellect and reasoning, the memory, the imagination, and finally the will. Now, the will is the most important aspect of your mind. It's the most important of the five. It's the most important. And the reason why it's the most important is because it's the last to be used in every decision that you make. God gave us our will. If God has not given us will, then we wouldn't be able to properly demonstrate our love for him. Our will is the ability to choose. Without God giving us the ability to choose, we cannot properly demonstrate our love for him. If God just made man, didn't give him a will or an ability to choose, then we are now forced to love God. That's not true love, because it's something that you're forced to do. Last class, and you remember this from Alliance of Honorable Men, we are in chapter 12 now, and it's talking about honorable men in the nation. And if you remember, one of the aspects of becoming an honorable man or woman in the nation is that you must choose covenant. One of the greatest characteristics in the apostolic is willingness, being willing. In other words, you choose to do this. This is not something that's forced upon you. It's not something that you're tricked to do. It's not something that somebody is holding a gun to your head to do. You're willing. What the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, you have to be willing. Notice willing is first, and obedient. Willing means I choose to do this, and I'm going to do it. That's willing and obedient. And so the will, which is the aspect of your soul, is the most important aspect of your soul, because it is the one that has the final say-so. Your memory does not have the final say-so. Your emotions do not have the final say-so. Your intellect does not have the final say-so. Your reasoning does not. Your imagination does not have the final say-so. But your will is what has the final say-so. And so your will, the reason why we went over the first, all those other four first, is because your will accesses all the other four to make decisions. I want you to understand that. Your will accesses your intellect, your reason, it accesses your imagination, it accesses your emotions. Are you seeing this? And from that, it gathers information to make a decision. So this is why your intellect has to be straight. This is why your memory has to be on point. This is why your emotions got to be kept in check. Are you seeing this? Because if the will is going to those other aspects of your soul to get information so that it can make a decision. So you can imagine how your will will function, if you allow me to say it that way, if your memory is not properly being used, or your imagination, or your emotions, or your intellect. Turn with me to, I told you, Romans, the seventh chapter. One of the most, what I like to call, confusing passages in the Bible. Paul wrote it. Romans 7, let's start at verse 14. I'm going to read through it once. We're going to take our time to read through it, then we'll go back and dissect it. Paul's writing, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then," verse 17, "then it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Verse 20. "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Verse 24, here go Paul saying, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Let's not stop there. Chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit." Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." What we just experienced is Paul explaining a will that is connected to sin. See, when you have a will that is connected to sin, what I mean by connected to sin, is your will is being ran by the servant and the slave. I remember now, your spirit is the master, your mind is the servant, and your body is the slave. Did we talk about that? A will that is run by the servant and the slave will always know the right thing to do, but choose the wrong thing to do. Are you seeing this? A will that is ran by the servant and the slave will always know the right thing to do, but always choose the wrong. Sometimes it may slip up and choose the right, but it will majoritarily always choose the wrong thing to do. Why? because the soul and the body was never meant to lead. The spirit was always meant to lead. Watch this. Watch what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 2. We'll read it again. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or the principle, or the rule of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So when I yield my life to Christ Jesus, that means I become free from the law of sin and death. What it means to yield, go to Romans 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter, verse, it says, Paul said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your body. What I'm saying, what it says in there, present your body a living sacrifice. We talked about this before, a living sacrifice. Now that's funny, because most sacrifices are dead. So here it is, a living sacrifice. So it's not so much of death being involved physically, but it's death death to my will, not being influenced by God. Death to my way of thinking. When I present myself to God, I'm yielding myself to Him. When I'm yielding myself to Him, that means that now God can influence my decision making. So now, in order for my decision making to be on the point where God wants it to be, this is why Romans 12 and 2 is so important, that you renew your mind with the Word of God. So that when I renew my mind with the Word of God is actually coming in like a washing machine. Washing machine has this little thing in the center of it. The thing is called an agitator. What the agitator does? It spins, it shifts the water and the clothes around. What it's doing? It is loosing or making the dirt release the clothes. And when the dirt releases from the clothes become clean, and the dirt drains out. Whenever the washing machine drains out, all the dirt drains out with it. So what happens when we're taking the Word of God and renewing our mind, the Word of God becomes an agitator. And it agitates. Other words, agitate means to bother, means to mess with, means to confront. The Word of God begins to agitate our thoughts. It begins to agitate our memories. It begins to agitate our emotions. It begins to agitate what we think is right, our intellect. When all those things are agitated, it also agitates our will. Why? Because our will, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, go to John the 15th chapter. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we're saying, you're Lord of my life. That means all of my decisions. You know, you carry out the process of life by decision making. All of my decisions now are yielded to Christ as my Lord. So my will is yielded to Him, but my emotions, my intellect, my memory, and my imaginations are not being agitated by the Word of God. My will can be yielded to Him, but I will not have the power to make the right decision. Because my will, even though it's yielded to Christ as my Lord, it still has to refer to the other four. Is that making sense? This is why you have Christians that are truly born again, but can't do the right thing. Because even though I say I'm yielding my will, I still, my will still refers to the other four aspects of my soul to make a decision. Is that making sense? John, the 15th chapter. John 15, verse 3. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken to you. Now, wait a minute. Now, this takes it to another level now. Jesus said, you are now clean through the words I have spoken to you. So, other words, have spoken, now clean. That means that some words that he had previously spoken to those who was listening have gone through the process of making them clean. So now, is it not only good enough to have our minds renewed by the word of God, but we also have to have our spirits empowered by the rhema of God? So what I mean by that, other words, Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you, you are now clean. So if you don't have God speaking to you, it's going to be very hard for you to submit your will to him. If God is not, if you don't take the word of God, that's the whole point of taking the word of God to renew your mind. It's not just taking his logos, but it's taking the logos and allowing it to become rhema to you. Romans 10, 17, go there. Talk about how you deal with your will. Because your will is going to give you example. Your will accesses all the other four aspects of your soul to make a decision. So, here it is. You know you want to lose weight. You know you want to get in shape. You know this. You made this decision, right? You made a decision. And so if you haven't prepared yourself, what I mean by prepared yourself, you got your emotions in check. You haven't prepared yourself intellectually to know what you need to do. Are you seeing this? You haven't got your memory in check to forget about your past failures in trying to get in shape. All right. You haven't put yourself in a position to be successful. In other words, you haven't put out a meal plan. You haven't had a workout schedule. You ain't got none of that. You're going to wing it. Well, that's okay. That's cool. So now when that person brings out that pound cake, you're going to visit somebody or you at a restaurant, they bring out that pound cake. Now your will has to make a decision. Am I going to eat this cake or am I going to refuse this cake? Now, if you hadn't prepared yourself, if you haven't had your meal plan, you haven't stuck with it, you haven't encouraged yourself, then when you see that cake, your will is going to access your memory. If your memory is not in check, what's your memory going to do? I remember the last time I ate that cake. That cake was good. That cake was good. It tastes good last time I had it. Then what your imagination is going to do? Your imagination is going to imagine you eating it. What's your intellect going to do? Your intellect going to tell you, oh, it ain't nothing but a few calories. It ain't going to do that much to you. And your emotion is going to be like, I just want it. So now your will is shot. You're going to make a decision. You see how this works? See, that's a funny note, but on a serious note, think about when you're faced to make decisions and doing something right or wrong. If your memory is not put in check, if your emotions are not put in check how? By the word of God. By spending time with God. Jesus said, you're now clean through the words I've spoken to you. See, people think God going to show up in the midst of sin. No, God was there before sin. He was there before the decision. The problem is we didn't pay attention to him before that situation arose. See, if we have spent time, it's hard for you to sin after spending time with God. Why? Because now your conscience, the Holy Spirit is there is to bring conviction in your conscience. So when conviction is there, your will can refer to it and say, no, we're not going to do this today. Or no, I'm not going to do that. Or no, I'm not going down that path no more. Or no, we're not doing this no more. Because your will now is accessing information from the other four aspects of your mind that have been conditioned by the Word of God. Are you seeing this? Before we go to the scripture I told you to go to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5 and 23. And then we go back to Romans 10, 17. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you how? Holy. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the very God of wholeness sets you apart holy. Other words, God has made provisions for everything about you to be holy. And so here it is. He says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Romans 10, 17. How do we be preserved blameless? It cannot be under our own strength. It can't be under our own power. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Very familiar scripture. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is, we like to say, is the action word, is doing. Believing and doing. Actually, faith is a decision that you have to make. Go to Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews the 10th chapter. Hebrews the 10th chapter, 38th verse. It says, now the just shall live by faith. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, Old Testament. Habakkuk, I think it's 2.
Yep, Habakkuk 2, verse 4.
Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. How many times? Four, right? The just shall live by faith. Live means to carry out the process of life, to walk out the process of life. You cannot walk out the process of life unless you make decisions. Every day you make decisions. Every day you use your will. So without, you can say your will is submitted to God, but if the other four aspects of your soul is not agitated, then when your will looks to get information to make a decision, it's going to have skewed, damaged, or contaminated information. And you're a Christian. This is why you see so many Christians that love God, but ain't living right. Yeah, the will is, Jesus lauded their life. But you have to choose to live right. Oh, Holy Spirit, bring that scripture to me. I think it's Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let me see, Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Oh, man. I think it's Hebrews 12th chapter. Let me look for it for a minute. Hebrews, Holy Spirit, help me. Hebrews 12th chapter. Let's see. I think it's verse 14. Hebrews 12th chapter, verse 14. I need to get that in the New King James Version too, because I want to read out of New King James. Let's see. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 14th verse. Yeah. Verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let me read out of the New King James Version. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and pursue holiness. So watch this. How is it that my will can always have access to the proper information from the other four aspects of my soul when I pursue holiness? See, that's why that message on hyper grace is straight from the devil. Because you have to pursue holiness. Holiness don't pursue you. In other words, I have to will to live right. I have to choose. Once that choice is made, now because my mind is renewed, because my intellect has been agitated, my emotions have been agitated, my memory has been agitated, my imagination has been agitated, now my will has a place to go to get information that I can choose the right decision. So when I'm pursuing, that means I don't really have time for anything else. See, people who, Jesus ain't gonna make the decision for you not to sin. You got to make the decision. He's gonna empower you that you can make the decision. But he's not gonna make the decision for you. He's put everything in place that we can always, he said, John 5:15-3, you're clean through the words that I've spoken to you. So if I hear to the words that are spoken to me, then when my will comes looking for information from the other four aspects of my soul, it can get the right information and make the right choice. Every wrong decision you made in your life, if you look back at it, your will accessed your mind, accessed the other four aspects of your will, of your mind, I meant to say, and got bad information. Every bad decision you made, your will, because your will is the one that's going, your will is the drive to cause you to do something. Once you make a decision to do something, that's your will has locked and loaded with all the black powder, all the explosive needed to go and do what you've decided to do. So you need to make sure that your will getting the proper information from the right place. Make sure that your memory is intact. Make sure that your emotions are in check. Making sure that you have the right imagination. Are you seeing this? So that when your will comes to get information, it'll be empowered to make the right decision. Paul's saying, I know to do right, but I don't do right. What's happening? His will was going to get bad information from the other four aspects of his mind. But his will is submitted. His will is submitted. His will. He's like, my will, I know what's right. I know what's wrong, but I know what's right. I want to do right, but I still do wrong. I find these other laws warring in my members, in my body. That's when that intellect, that reasoning, that memory, that emotion, that imagination has not been agitated by the word of God, so that when the will comes, it gets false information. Two of the most powerful words that your will knows is yes and no. Your will don't want no nothing else. Your will don't really deal with no other words. It's either yes or no. That's the only two words your will deals with, is yes or no. Every time you got to make a decision, you're either doing this or you're doing that. And so we have to begin to learn how to strengthen the other. Because by itself, your will, listen to me now, you never forget this. Your will is at full capacity strength at all times. You say, explain that to me. You're going to make a decision. Your will is at full strength all the time because you're always making decisions, whether they're good or bad. Whatever decision you make, your will going to make sure you carry it out. So you don't want your will to be strong when it goes to get information from the other aspects, and the other aspects of your soul is weak. Is that making sense? Because see, you're going to make a decision. Even if it's a decision to do something or not to do something, you're still making a decision. And whatever you decide to do, that's what you're going to act out. So your will is only going to feed off of the other four. I hope I'm stressing it. I know I'm saying it different ways, but I'm stressing it enough. I want to stress it enough. That's how I can always tell. You can always tell when somebody walking in faith or not by their actions. You can always tell somebody walking in faith or not. God can always tell if they believe in him or not by their actions. God can always tell. God say, I'm gonna see if you hear me or not by what you do next. Why? Because whatever you do, you've chosen to do it. So that means your will went and accessed other aspects of your soul. And so if you hadn't heard God with the other aspects of your soul, your will is only coming to get information from those and only going to do what the information is given. I hope this is making sense. Because it makes understanding how your will operates, Internet, understanding how your will operates. Listen, your will can be submitted to Christ, but Christ is not going to control your will. Christ only wants to influence the other four aspects of your soul. Because the moment Christ influences, watch this, the moment he diminishes the power of your will, he now becomes a puppet master. And it's impossible for you to demonstrate your love for him, because you didn't choose to do it. This is why the tree was in the garden. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was in the garden. That's why I was in the center of the garden, because God wanted Adam and Eve to demonstrate their love for him by choosing him over the tree. Are you seeing this? But watch what happened. Satan came in and began to mess with their intellect. So when he came in and began to mess with their intellect, when Eve and Adam looked at that tree, it became appealing to them. So when it became appealing to them, watch this, their will was shot. They were going to eat off that tree because they entertained information in one of the other aspects of their soul that they shouldn't have entertained. So when it came time to make the choice to eat the fruit or not eat it, they choose to eat it. That was their will. Their will. There was nothing God can do about it. When they chose to do it. Another example, Genesis 11 chapter, whenever the Tower of Babel, God had to come down, confuse the language. He said, I ain't going to stop them. They're going to be able to do everything they imagine to do. Why? Because their will began to feed off their imagination. And they saw that tower. And they were going to build it. So rather than affect their will or their ability to choose, God just come and confuse their language so they couldn't understand each other to complete it. Is that making sense? Your will is at full capacity all the time. I hope that makes sense. I'm saying this clear as I say this. Your will is at full capacity all the time. If it wasn't, then you could stop. People can stop sinning on their own. Sinners can stop sinning on their own. But because the other four aspects, their will come to the other four aspects to get information, they can't stop. So what Jesus did, Jesus said, submit your, look, come, let me become Lord of your life. When I become Lord of your life, I'm not going to mess with your will. I'm going to affect the other four. When I affect the other four, your will is going to come see four new people. They're going to come get information from and be able to make the right decision. Is that making sense? See, so it's not so much that Jesus, when you say Jesus is Lord of my life and I'm yielding to him, Jesus is not trying to diminish your ability to choose. See, that's the thing with grace, that hyper grace takes away your ability to choose. Because it says no matter what you do, you covered. But you can't practice sin. You can't be committed to sin. Because when you're committed to something, it means you're in covenant with it. When you're in covenant with it, it means you're choosing it over something else. Are you seeing this? See, your will is going to look at the other four. So that's why Christ deals with our intellect. He deals with our memory. He deals with our emotions. He deals with our reasoning. That's what he said, Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together. Why he said let us reason together? Though your sins be as scarlet or your actions be as scarlet, in other words, you was going the wrong direction, by the time we finish reasoning together, it's going to be white as snow. So when your will come to your reasoning to get information, you'll make the right decision. You all have a good night.